three islets. This is Back Islet, that's the Hermitage. And so that's where St. Helier lived, on that big rock at the island. And then they built a... so he was killed in 555 AD.
Can we talk about?
Hey?
St. Helier?
Yeah, St. Helier. He was killed in 555, and the story is that he was killed by Vikings with two axes, which is why St. Helier has got the two axes on top of, on the crest. And he was killed because he was warning the islanders that the Vikings were coming to raid Jersey. So he would light fires, and then the islanders would see the fires and then be prepared enough to ward off any attacks. So the Vikings would be like, oh, okay, they're ready for us again. Not going to go that way. So they decided to kill St. Helier. He wasn't called Helier then, St. Helier. He was called Helibert, came from Belgium. And he then was killed, but the legend has it that he picked up his head and walked across the beach to still warn the islanders. And that's how he got his sainthood, because you have to perform a miracle.
He picked up his own head?
Yeah. You know. But that's his miracle, which allowed him to become a saint, because you have to perform a miracle. So that was his miracle. So he picked up his head, walked across the beach. I don't actually think he picked up his head and walked across the beach, but... And then in about 11... And he became... So he became kind of the guardian of the island, and he became quite known for protecting the island, sort of quite a lot of... prayers and stuff came up around him. And then in about 1197, because that kind of wasn't really joined. There's lots of low rock, but this is the high rock where he was, to this middle bit of the island. And in the middle, they built a priory in about 1100, which was dedicated to St. Helier.
And just to catch up, I don't know what an actual priory
is. It's like a big abbey.
Oh.
Big abbey. So that was built in the middle. In 1100 or something like that. In 1197, it was kind of slightly downgraded, but it still was monks and people were living there, so it became a kind of place of pilgrimage. Then in 1594, it was Paulet. Paul Ivy was the builder in 1594. And they had decided that because Montalguy was a bow and arrow castle, couldn't defend itself against cannon, so they needed to build another castle that could defend itself against cannon. So they fortified this top bit up here, because they already have sort of had people living there. So they fortified this top bit with just a few cannon around the top. So that was kind of 1594. Then they built a house for the captain and the governor of the island. So Walter Raleigh ended up living there. He was governor of Jersey for 3 years, from 1600 to 1603. And he was the one who called it Fort Isabella Bellissima after Queen Elizabeth. So that was built, and so it kind of started up here, so we kind of come into it this way, but actually the first bit of history is right at the back and at the top. It's a really odd kind of way to come in. So then that sort of gets built. Then you have the abbey then became a place. So there were sort of some places along here where there were some barracks, but nothing particular. Then they had my brain is fried. I had 40 kids this morning from St. George's, and it was cold. My brain is not working.
Yeah, fair enough.
When I'm there, I'm on point.
Yeah.
So then they had, this is kind of where soldiers were living, a chapel, and the magazine where they kept all the gunpowder. In 1637, there was some cannon put along here, kind of 1600s, there was some cannon put along here. And then Sir George Carteret was a royalist from the island, from Jersey, and he got lots of he had lots of contacts in England, and Charles was looking for a place of exile, and he was like, come over here, I'll look after you, I'll look after the king, da da da. And so he said okay, and he ended up, they brought about 2,000 people over with the king, so it was actually quite a huge amount of people, and they were looking for people to stay with in Jersey, but Charles ended up, and his brother James ended up living in the governor's house. So James would go into the island for kind of picnics on horseback and take 300 men with him for a picnic, but he ended up staying there. He only stayed for about 13 weeks, so it wasn't actually that long, but during that time, because they were taking so much kind of effort and money and attention, the islanders and the kind of the Puritans in the island started to get quite grumpy, and really the tide kind of turned. So actually the whole castle became a place of refuge for the royalist supporters. They then ended up building out here, which is that one that we see at the, kind of the front, Fort Charles, which was connected to this bit kind of with a drawbridge and moat. And there was a bell here, but so they had this thing because actually the threat came from Jersey rather than France,
yeah.
Which is actually, so they were defending itself against the islanders rather than any outside threats. So this was kind of the front bit of the castle turned round and became the front bit rather than that become the front bit. So Fort Charles was built in 1637. At sort of around that time, early 1630s, there was on the castle green, which is this kind of that big green bit in the middle, there was a windmill. Which isn't there now, obviously, but it had a cannon. It was huge, and it had a cannon halfway up. It's one of the only fortified windmills that we've ever heard of. So it had this cannon halfway up. But eventually, he got a bit fed up. Charles II got fed up, even though Jersey had kind of proclaimed him king and still had support, but he just was like, yeah, I don't really want to live here anymore. And he had been offered refuge in Belgium. So he went off the back of the castle in a boat and with everyone off. Carteret still stayed on the castle and was trying to defend it. At this point, they tried to get, Jersey tried to get into the castle to get George Carteret out. Guernsey had turned Puritan. Jersey was still officially royalist, even though most of them. The island laid siege to the castle for 51 days with, you know, cannons and stuff, but they couldn't quite get through because it's such a distance and that you can't get to the middle part of the castle because it's got the cliffs, kind of the rocks around, you just can't get there. So they ended up bringing somebody from the Netherlands who was the best cannon maker of his time and the best kind of scientist, and they built the biggest mortar firer cannon that had ever been seen anywhere in the world at that point, and fired it from basically kind of where Fort Regent is. Some people say the beach, but I don't, because there's not enough. I think it was from Fort Regent. I think it's more from Fort Regent. And it landed directly onto the abbey.
Oh.
Which went through the ceiling and took out the gunpowder magazine, took out their store of food. They couldn't fight on. So they had to give up the castle.
Did they do that on purpose?
They were trying to, because they knew they wouldn't be able to, unless they got the magazine, they got the gunpowder, they could still fire. So they managed to do that. Get exactly the right strike. Now, some people have said on their first go they managed it. I'm like, I don't think so. I think it would have taken a couple of goes. But it was a mortar, so it went up and down rather than a straight across cannon. At that point, Carteret and his friends whoever was left. Some escaped off the back to surrendered the castle. They left off to go off to France, and some went to St. Aubyn's Fort as well. So it was kind of like they were like, yeah, okay. And eventually Charles came back, and Carteret was rewarded for his defence of the king and given land in the newly discovered America, which is called New Jersey.
Wow.
So that's your brief.
Yeah.
Brief. So at that point, there was no building here, no windmill that had been destroyed. And then late 1600s, they then built the walls that kind of connected the two bits, built a new drawbridge here and a gate into the main bit of the thing, built new, this is very descriptive, this is the trouble with Elizabeth Castle, it just keeps changing. Then they built officers' barracks, canteen and storage for the soldiers as a garrison. About 300 soldiers were living there in kind of 1750s, 17 to about to 1800s. Then the Battle of Jersey came, and the soldiers in...
And that was that during the... Was it?
Yeah, 1781.
So
1791. Just before. So 1781. The Battle of Jersey happened, but there was the captain of the garrison here, Captain Mulcaster, who, you know that street where Chambers is? That's Mulcaster Street.
Oh, really?
That's who it's named after. The French troops were sent to the castle to make them surrender. And legend has it that he looked at the piece of paper that told him to surrender and said, "I don't read French," and put it in his pocket. So I was like, "Go on your way, I'm not surrendering the castle, I don't read French." He didn't surrender, whether he said that or not, I don't know. There were a few people who tried, there were a few French troops who tried to get across and were killed by cannon coming from the castle. But at that point, between the sort of moments of him surrendering, the tide came up, so the troops couldn't get off the castle. So they weren't actually involved in the...
What, his troops?
His troops were stuck at the castle whilst the whole battle was raging in middle of St. Helier. They couldn't get off. Like that. And they went, it's probably not a great place for a castle. or a good place for a garrison. Maybe we need somewhere else, which is why Fort Regent was built. And that started being built in 1800. So you can kind of see that, like, Montauguy started, that didn't work anymore. Then Elizabeth Castle happened, that didn't work anymore, and then Fort Regent happened. And then, so it's kind of like this interesting kind of thing. So 1781, they kind of got stuck out there. But at that point, so it's sort of 1781, at that point then on the Castle Green, I'm giving you such a brief history. But it's a really interesting, so much has happened there. At that point, in about 1800, we have a hospital built on the castle, because it's still used for soldiers, but not for serving soldiers who are trying to defend the island, who get stuck there in the tides. So they build a hospital there, which is one of its, and it's the only Georgian hospital building that's left in Britain.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's quite... dilapidated at the moment. We're hoping to, it's in our big plans to kind of refurbish, but it's quite dilapidated. But so soldiers were taken for respite and for looking after just a normal kind of hospital. There was a huge, on the Castle Green, a huge barracks which was built for about 600 soldiers. Most of them, they were kind of built for not Jersey soldiers, because at just after 1800, you've got the Napoleonic Wars starting. So, and England was allies with the Netherlands and with Russia. We were friends with Russia then. So the Netherlands, there were a lot of Russian and Dutch soldiers who came to Jersey to recuperate. And there was at some point about 4,000 of them, in not in just on the castle, but in Jersey as well. So there was this huge kind of like influx of Russian soldiers, which you kind of go, huh? Really?
Yeah.
So yeah, they not. I mean, they didn't really stay. They didn't kind of. So we haven't got like a Russian.
Ethnicity.
So there's not a lot of Russian, not a lot of Dutch either, but there's a few kind of connections. But then eventually that kind of fell down, and we've just got some of these barrack rooms and canteen rooms left, as well as up on the middle ward where you've got the governor's house, which is still intact, and the top with the gun emplacements on the cannon emplacements on the top. But of course then the Germans came and they added some bunkers. So there's a bunker here, and there's a searchlight up here, and there's another bunker here where they chopped off a bit of the building here. So they kind of add things, and they add that extra bit up on the top, which is that kind of, you can see it's a lot higher. So that's kind of the last big build that change thing. But we've now got a building where the Hermitage is, and I suppose just before the things, we have the we've got kind of a causeway that leads out to it, so it's now actually it's all connected.
Yeah.
What they tried to do, because the harbour used to be kind of here, they tried. This is a bit random. They tried to put like a causeway to kind of connect the two, so that it became, so the harbour entrance kind of came in there. But that bit kept falling apart because the tide is so strong, or there's something about it just doesn't work. So they only ever built that kind of bit. They never got that far. So they did that. But the Hermitage is still there, so that's kind of an interesting, but it is an odd place because actually the history goes from kind of back to top, down, and actually some of the bigger parts of the history aren't there, like the big abbey. You're like, it's not there because it's completely destroyed. It's just a big parade ground.
Really?
Yeah. So it's kind of like, and then, you know, we haven't got the barracks on the castle green. We've just got an empty space, and so it's a really sort of odd place. But there's plenty of buildings there. The governor's house looks beautiful from the outside. It's really boring inside.
Right.
Really boring. Like, it's just a plain room. There's nothing exciting at all. Which has always been one of my bugbears, because I'm like, actually, do you know the king stayed here?
Yeah.
Maybe we should, like, tell people that. It's quite nice. Mm. And Sir Walter Raleigh.
Yeah.
You know, that's quite a... sorry, I was just whittering.
No,
is that kind
get,
of
to get all the best bits? Try and.
So I don't know if you want to kind of go backwards or in that way, and talk about kind of some of the. If you want to go King Charles, we can just focus on Fort Charles and the governor's house and the priory, which isn't there. Sorry, I keep saying priory. It's really is the abbey. The abbey, which wasn't there. Or we can kind of. It's kind of up to you.
Yeah.
What I have got is I've got something like this, but of Elizabeth Castle.
Yeah.
I just have, because I had this morning, which is basically a tour of Elizabeth Castle. So I'll send that to you so you can make sense of my witterings just now. but yeah, so it's kind of, it's an interesting castle. It's a pain in the ass to get to.
Yeah. I don't mind taking the dog. So
That's fine. We can take the dog. It's not a problem. So there's a lot to see. It's 24 acres.
Mm.
It's huge. But actually, once you kind of, the 24 acres includes kind of that bit going out to the Hermitage, and so actually it's not. So kind of go 24 acres, and it does sound. You're like, really?
Yeah.
That's quite big. No, actually, it's not quite that. When you're actually walking it, so how's that?
That's
wittering?
Good. Yeah.
That's fine. God. my poor Elizabeth Castle. So yeah.
If I take back what you've said,
yep.
and then all that, and if I email you back about timing and
okay.
what we'd go through, is that fine?
Yep, that's fine.
Okay, that's great then.
So I'll send you the tour of the kind of the words, so you've got that bubble, and just listen yeah. to me witter trying to make sense of my tired voice from this morning. But yeah, I mean, there's so much to talk about. I can talk about any of the buildings.
And you're still able to get into the Georgian hall?
We can see from the outside. I might be able to get into, but there's a bit of an asbestos issue as well.
As always.
And it's just a health and safety thing. So there may be thing, but because we don't really open it up, because nobody can go in there, so it's we don't let the public go in.
Right.
So you can see through the side, and you can see the outside, and it's quite big. So there's a couple of nice architectural features that are different to normal castles. There are some pepper pot, they're called pepper pot guard towers, which are pepper pot shaped, but they're very Mediterranean. They kind of come from kind of like you see them quite a lot on sort of Italian and sort of Spanish castles. You very rarely see them in English castles.
Yeah.
So they're really quite different. That's kind of an influence of the designer, who was obviously influenced by a different kind of designer. What else is there? There's some nice gates. There is, up on the top, there is a, up on the top of the captain's house, which is where the captain, who was the captain of the guard,
yeah.
stayed. There's a really nice, and hardly anybody ever sees it, there's a stone with 1594 inscribed into it.
What's that for?
And that's the date that the castle was started being fortified. So
is that at the top?
Yeah, right at the top. And it's, you can only see it kind of if you're coming down this side, and you suddenly go, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a nice one. Mm. Yeah, the outside of the governor's house is nice. The inside is rubbish.
Mm. Because it would be good to like just film in, just be like, oh, this is where the king and this is where the Valley State.
Yeah, and then you go, oh, it's a plain room with yeah. nothing in it. But the outside, it looks beautiful. Mm. So, and you can kind of see it would have had a grand kind of structure. Mm. Fort Charles is lovely because it's really nice to sort of see it from the outside as well as kind of on top, where you can see kind of Jersey. You can see why it was built, because of the threat coming from the beach.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that's a nice. So the Civil War story is really interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah, there we go. So I will look at my diary.
Okay.
Wednesdays are better for me.
Yeah.
So and then what we can do is we'll meet at the ferry place.
Yeah.
And we'll nip over on the dock.
Okay.
If it's not. Tied up. If it's not tied down, well,
yeah.
So I'll do it that way. So okay. I'll let you know. Is there a date that's better for you?
I'm not really aware at the moment because I'm still around other people. So when they're available, such as him.
Oh, Kaz.
Yeah.
Good luck trying to pin him down.
Yeah. I did work experience with him. Like,
oh,
so
did
I just
you?
I'm waiting for him to like which date he's doing specific. So,
okay.
So that's when I can
yeah,
do that.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it should be fine.
I mean,
yeah.
it's Wednesday. The only day I don't work is Tuesdays. So I don't work on a Tuesday.
It's got all these to do, so that's great.
So,
yeah.
thing. Okay, so I've got your email. I'll send you the tour of EC. Okay, and then I'll check my diary. Because I don't have schools, because my main job is taking schools around.
Yeah.
They're off for the next 2 weeks from Friday, so I'm a lot freer next week. All right, lovely.
Okay.
Right. Is that helpful?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.